This is World Lutheran News Digest, an audio news magazine bringing you a look at significant events in worldwide Lutheranism. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.
Today on World Lutheran News Digest,
I'm World Lutheran News Digest host Kip Allen. Jesus said the time would come when his followers will be persecuted. We Americans have always prided ourselves on our tradition of religious tolerance and freedom. In America, no one is forced to follow a specific religion or engage in its practices. But now, secular forces are demanding that religious people celebrate and actively participate in their practices. And woe to the faithful who refuse to engage in what they know is sinful. Aaron and Melissa Klein learned that lesson the hard way. They operated a small bakery in Oregon State called Sweet Cakes by Melissa. One day, a customer demanded they bake a wedding cake for a lesbian couple. The Kleins declined, stating that to do so would mean they'd have to lend their talents to participate in something prohibited by their faith. The lesbians complained to the Oregon Department of Justice, claiming discrimination. The complaint went to the State Bureau of Labor and Industry, which ordered the Kleins to pay $135,000 to the lesbian couple for emotional suffering stemming directly from unlawful discrimination. The Kleins lost their business as a result, but they're standing up for their right to follow their religious beliefs. First Liberty Institute has taken up their case, and it's now before the Oregon Court of Appeals. The Kleins and First Liberty Institute attorney Jeremy Dice are my guests on today's World Lutheran News Digest.
And now today's Fast Track.
I'm Buzz Ulrich with news in brief of interest to Lutherans. Following a deadly shooting spree in Heston, Kansas, the community is still really shaken. According to the Reverend Aaron Philippek, pastor of Zion Evangelical Lutheran Church in nearby Newton, three people were killed and some 14 others injured when Cedric Ford went on a February 25th rampage that started where he was living in Newton and ended at his workplace, XL Industries, several miles away in Heston. Ford was later killed by a police officer. People are saying, "We never thought it could happen here," according to Reverend Philippek. Immediately after the tragedy, the pastor contacted his three parishioners who work at XL Industries, as well as those who have family or friends who do so. The following Sunday, Philippek used the Bible study hour to read scripture with members and discuss what had happened. He also stayed after worship to listen to and pray with individuals who were still struggling. The next day, Zion opened up its doors to the community for a prayer service. Philippek estimated that more than 70 people attended, most of whom were not members of the congregation. The Washington State Supreme Court has agreed to hear the case of Baronelle Stutzman. She is a local floral artist who was sued by both the American Civil Liberties Union and the Washington State Attorney General when she declined, due to her religious beliefs, to use her artistic abilities to design custom floral arrangements for a same-sex ceremony. A judge has ruled that two Christian organizations in Florida can continue helping newly released prisoners reintegrate into society. The Christian organizations had been brought to court by a New York-based atheist organization called the Center for Inquiry that sued to strip the ministries of government funding because of their religious identities. Because the atheist group failed to appeal the judge's decision, the Christian ministries will now be free to carry on helping ex-convicts. The ministries, Prisoners of Christ and Lamb of God Ministries, provide newly released prisoners with a place to stay, food, and help with resumes and job searches. These services provide the essential help men need to get back on their feet and live productive lives, and the results are clear. Program participants are at a significantly lower risk of ending up back in prison. Concordia University, Nebraska has been named number 10 on Go Grad's third annual rankings for the 2015-2016 Best Master's Degree Programs in Human Resources. Shannon Linen, director of Concordia's MBA program, says our Master's of Business Administration program has expanded to offer 9 areas of concentration to better help business professionals hone the skills in their areas of expertise. GoGrad is an online platform where aspiring graduate students of all ages, backgrounds, and specialties can get information to make knowledgeable decisions about their education. a bill that would provide greater protections to faith groups and businesses whose religious beliefs would prevent them from serving gay people, advanced in the Missouri Senate after Republicans ended a marathon filibuster by Democrats that lasted more than 36 hours. The bill, known as Senate Joint Resolution 39, passed on March 9th. The proposed amendment would prohibit the state from penalizing, quote, a religious organization on the basis that the organization believes or acts in accordance with a sincere religious belief concerning marriage between two persons of the same sex, end quote. That measure would also protect vendors who refuse to provide services to gay couples and individuals who decline, quote, to personally be a participant in a wedding or marriage, end quote.
World Lutheran News Digest will be back right after these messages.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson, host of Jubilation on Worldwide KFUO. Coming up this Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m., I'm going to be sharing not only great Christ-centered hymns and songs, I'm going to be also providing various scriptures for you all about the subject of a real hope. See, when yours is centered in Jesus totally, then you have a hope with no minus sign attached to it. So join me Sunday for great music and a hope with no minus sign. That's Jubilation from 1 to 4 p.m. on Worldwide KFUO.
Hi, I'm Pastor William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship. Jesus said some hard things in John 6, and lots of his disciples turned away and stopped following him. He asked the 12 if they wanted to go too. Peter responded for them all, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." Words of eternal life, those are the words your Jesus has for you. Join me for the next broadcast of Thy Strong Word, 11 a.m. Central on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
This is World Lutheran News Digest. ഇത് ലോക ലൂത്രൻ വാർത്താ പരിപാടിയാകുന്നു.
I'm Kip Allen, host of World Lutheran News Digest. Guests today are Jeremy Dice of the First Liberty Institute and Melissa and Aaron Klein of Sweet Cakes by Melissa, who have had a very difficult time because of their practicing of their faith. Mr. Dice, can you tell me a bit about yourself, your organization, and what this case involves?
Yeah, First Liberty Institute is a religious liberty law firm located near Dallas, Texas, but we handle cases across this country, making sure that we can restore religious liberty for all Americans. In this case, really what it's going to boil down to is whether or not people of faith in this country are going to be permitted to go into business and operate that business according to their religious beliefs and the conscience that has guided them throughout their whole lives. Aaron and Melissa operated a small business. There came to a point where they had a conflict of beliefs between themselves and one of their customers. They found themselves before an administrative agency who then took it upon themselves to punish Aaron and Melissa for exercising their religious beliefs at their business, and they punished them to the tune of $135,000. First Liberty has taken on their case to appeal that decision and to hopefully restore the right of Aaron and Melissa, as well as every American, to be able to conduct their business according to their beliefs.
Now, what happened, as I understand, is the business is called Sweet Cakes by Melissa, and she and Aaron, they made custom cakes for various and sundry issues. What happened here was that a gay couple, a lesbian couple, had come in and asked them to make a wedding cake for their gay marriage ceremony. Being Christians, and as we Lutherans also recognize, marriage can only be between a man and a woman, and the Kleins very respectfully declined to make the cake for that issue, although they have made cakes for them on other occasions that were not things that were taking part in the celebration of what they regarded as immoral. Is this the correct case, and do they want to discuss how this came about?
Yeah, no, that's exactly kind of how it happened, and you know, they've served this couple before. They would serve them again today if they had a business to be able to serve them with. It just came to an issue where beliefs departed with one another, and they had to be serving their own conscience rather than the government itself. And as a reward, the government cleaned out their bank account, and they've only been able to secure this appeal by the good people in the crowdsourcing efforts to be able to fund a bond, an escrow account, so that they could pay off the full penalty of $135,000 and go on to secure their day in court on this appeal.
Now, this fine was not levied on them by a court. It was a regulatory agency. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Melissa, I'd like to ask you a question specifically. Tell me about how it was that you decided to start your business, Sweet Cakes by Melissa, and how it evolved and what you had hoped would happen with it. What was your future for it?
Oh, can you repeat that? I'm so sorry.
Certainly. Melissa, what I'm hoping is that you can tell me a little bit about how and why you founded Sweet Cakes by Melissa and what it was that you hoped to accomplish with your bakery. What was it that you wanted to do? I understand, for one thing, you hope that this would be a long-standing family business that you could pass on to your children.
Oh, yeah. Well, how it started was my son was turning 1 year old, and I wanted to make him a cake, and I went to Michael's Craft Store and bought a bunch of different supplies to be able to make a cake, and I found a cake in a book that I really wanted to do, and it was really cute. It was a two-tiered cake that had like a scenery of I had to make little handmade cookie cars and little cookie buildings that were on the sides of the cake, and it had a little number one on top with a little airplane and some clouds. And after I did that cake, I absolutely fell in love with, with doing that. It like sparked a passion inside of me. And so it just kind of grew from there of baking and doing cakes for friends and family and neighbors, and, just grew and grew. And next thing you knew, I was doing cakes for people that were just calling me up and, wanting wedding cakes and birthday cakes and all kinds of cakes. And we had way too much cake in our house. I was doing it out of my home. And we just had way too much cake, and we needed to find a place to be able to separate, our home and our business.
And so the business was founded. It was, I gather, a rather successful business.
Yeah, we had a great business. We were living very comfortably. Our shop was like our second home. We spent most of our day at the shop. We brought our kids to the shop. They had their own little room, with their toys and a TV and a couch. It was kind of like a playroom. We made it for them. We really missed that. That was a huge part of my kids' lives. My daughter used to help out at the shop, and, she would make cupcakes, and she just really enjoyed doing that. And, we all miss it. The boys more so miss the cookie every day. They'd get a cookie every day at the shop, and, they really miss that.
I bet it smelled wonderful. I bet it smelled wonderful inside your shop. I bet it smelled wonderful.
It did smell good in there.
I'd like to talk a little bit about the case that's happened here. Now, you said that you had known these women before, and they had been customers of you, and you'd had very friendly relations. Is that correct?
Yeah, we served them in the past before this happened.
And if you could just recap what had happened here. They came in and said that they wanted you specifically to make a wedding cake to celebrate their gay marriage. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, I was actually at home with my twin boys. I had just had twin boys, and so I was at home, and Aaron was at the shop that day, and a girl and her mom walked in for a cake tasting, and they sat down, and Aaron usually tells this part of the story better because he was there, but they sat down, and he asked for the bride and groom's name, and he was told that it was for two brides, and he then very politely, said he was very sorry, but, we can't do that.
Why do you think your bakery was chosen for this? Now, obviously, they have been customers of yours in the past, but I think we've seen instances where Christian institutions, Christian businesses, have been targeted specifically by activists in the gay community. Do you think this was something that had happened to you?
I honestly, we've been asked that question a lot, and I honestly don't think that we were targeted at all. I think that they just genuinely, they had a good experience when they came in previously, and they wanted to come back and, they said our cake was wonderful and great, and so they wanted to have it again.
And because you declined that, even though they were good customers and had been satisfied before, they've succeeded in putting you out of business and taking $135,000 out of your pocket.
Yeah, sadly, yeah.
Absolutely incredible when I look at it that way. Are there other bakeries in your community where you are based that would have been happy to make a cake for them?
Oh, absolutely. We have tons of bakeries. Actually, when all this happened, quite a few bakeries jumped out in the news and voiced that, you know, they would have been happy to, you know, do their wedding. And so there was plenty of other bakeries around that would have definitely taken care of them. And there was, you know, they did get another cake. Somebody did take care of them.
And yet they still decided to go after you. I know in St. Louis we have a number of businesses here that are family owned, and many of them are very upfront that they are Christian and they follow their particular views. Is this the case with you as well? Were you known in the area as being devout?
Yeah, actually we had, so like if you came into our shop, we had crosses on the wall. We had, you know, things that shared our faith. But more importantly, we had on our website, if you go to our website, it's still up now, you can see all, we had Bible verses, the introductory page to About Us, you know, shares a lot about us and the way we believe, even down to our belief of marriage being between a man and a woman. So, we were definitely out there with our faith.
I think I wanted to ask Mr. Dice the next question here. Given this, okay. Mr. Dice, given what Melissa has just said and the fact that they were so obviously a Christian establishment, I can't help but think that they've been targeted. Is this a position that the First Liberty Institute takes?
Well, it doesn't really matter whether they've been targeted or not. What matters is what the government does. And if the government is going to treat its citizens by punishing them when they exercise their religious liberty, they're going to be violating the Constitution. And that's why this case is so important. If this can happen to Aaron and Melissa Klein in a bakery in Oregon, this can happen to any American across the country. Whether your office is in the corner office or if it's down in the warehouse, it doesn't matter. You are afforded religious liberty while you are at work. And the government is duty-bound to respect that religious liberty and to accommodate it. I don't think we want the type of America that Oregon is putting forward here that says you've got to agree with us or we're going to punish you for it. We want an America that is diverse, that is inclusive of opinions and beliefs that people may disagree with from time to time. That's okay. The First Amendment supports the right of us to be able to have these discussions, to have differences of opinion, to have differences of beliefs, and to respect those kinds of things.
Now, I have seen on some opposition sites, I'm going to play devil's advocate here a little bit, that the argument is being made, well, these people chose to have a public business serving the public at large, and they could no more discriminate against a gay couple with their product than they could, say, refuse to serve an African-American. How is this response made?
Well, obviously, that they have served this couple before, and they would serve them again today, but they don't have a storefront to be able to do that anymore. The state of Oregon punished them so severely for exercising their religious beliefs that they're no longer in business. You know, Aaron has had to go back to driving a garbage truck to put food on the table for his family. Melissa would love to get back into her business to be able to carry on that family tradition to her kids with this family business. But because they simply asserted their religious liberty, something they thought the First Amendment actually protected, the government has come and now punished them for it. That is not the kind of America that I want to live in. It's not the kind of America that our founding fathers put in place.
But can a commercial establishment discriminate on the basis of religion? This is the question that now the opposition is saying, no, it can't. You must serve everyone equally. We've seen that with the photographers in, I believe it was in Arizona, who also refused to photograph a gay marriage. We've seen it with florists who refused to supply flowers for a gay marriage. And now we're seeing it, of course, with Melissa. And that's
sure.
That's the argument.
As it concerns going against comparing it to issues of race and that sort of thing, we've solved that issue in this country. What the law does protect here is the ability for you to run your business according to your faith. That just is simply a very clear under Title VII, Title IX, and many other issues that relate to whether or not our faith is going to be accommodated to. The two distinctions are so vastly different that it's almost hard to explain. What Aaron and Melissa have done here was to serve everybody that came through their door. It was just when the actions of another forced them to violate their own religious conscience that's when they had to draw a line and say, no, I can't do it. We've got to be able to stay faithful to our convictions here. There's nothing wrong with that in this country, and we ought to protect people of faith to be able to do that.
And there's no mainstream religion that I'm aware of that would openly discriminate against say, African-Americans or race or anything like that. This is a religious point that is upheld by virtually every mainstream religion. Lutheran, Catholic, Baptist, they all recognize the concept of marriage as being between a man and a woman. And for them to bake a cake celebrating something that is to them abhorrent certainly is a violation of the free exercise clause.
That's exactly right.
So where do we go from here? What is the procedure? I understand that you're filing an appeal now to the Oregon Court of Appeals.
That's correct. We'll be filing an appeal here, appealing the administrative decision that has penalized them so terribly. And there will be several different arguments that are going to be made that we can't quite talk about yet as we wrap up the briefing here. But I would say sometime in April we'll be having the first briefs filed, and I'm sure you'll be notified and be covering that again. But, of course, folks can continue to follow this case and learn more about it at firstliberty.org/Clines.
And what we're going to be seeing then, well, depending upon how this proceeds, because now we're moving on from the administrative view into the judicial view. What is the objective, hopefully? You want to get the money back? You want to clear the name? You want to be able to establish that they can indeed practice their faith?
Well, yeah, I think all of those things go into play. No one should be punished in this country for operating their business according to their faith. That's what Aaron and Melissa have had branded against them right now. We're trying to reestablish a country in which we're able to accommodate differences of belief and to allow those types of things to go forward like the First Amendment promised us to be able to do. And so what this case will begin to prove, and we're so thankful to have the lead counsel and a guy like Boyden Gray, who is the former ambassador to the European Union, the former White House counsel to George H.W. Bush, and former clerk to Chief Justice Warren. He's leading this case because he understands what's at stake here, the freedom of every American to be able to go to work and to be able to act according to their conscience.
I might add that there are some very heavy hitters involved with the First Liberty Institute.
Well, thank you. I tend to agree.
I was very impressed when I've gone over your over the organization's table of organization and people who are involved and the cases involved. And in groups like yours and the Alliance Defending Freedom, are you guys are the pointy end of the spear trying to defend our liberty right now. Another question I want to ask a little bit on a devil's advocate point of view, if you'll pardon that expression. Our president has once said, if somebody hits you, punch back twice as hard. If I were the victim in this case, if I were in the position of the Clines, I would be very, very tempted to see what legal remedies I could take against that particular couple. Is this an option? Perhaps the Kline should answer that, perhaps you, or perhaps we shouldn't answer it at all.
I'll just say this, that I've spent a lot of time now around Aaron and Melissa, and I have been humbled by their humility and by their grace and their complete lack of ill will towards anyone. They are constantly asking for prayers, not just for them and their families, but also for the governmental leaders that are involved in this case and those who would be opposing them and sometimes opposing them with even death threats. And so if the women who started this complaint were to come into a shop that they don't have anymore, but if they did come in, you would find Melissa giving them a very big hug, probably giving them a cookie along the way, serving them, and encouraging them as best as she's able. And the same would be true of Aaron. These are genuinely good people, and it's a shame that they have had the government that they that had once promised to protect their religious liberty now coming in penalizing them for exercising their religious beliefs.
One thing that appalled me was the reaction of certain portions of the community to the Clines. I gather that even their children were threatened as well as themselves. It's just beyond me that there's that much hatred out there.
Yeah.
It's horrifying. I would like to ask Aaron, if I could, please, what he plans for now, what he hopes for the future, and where he believes that his family will be going now.
Hello.
Yeah, Aaron, Kip Allen. Aaron, I'd like to ask you, what are your hopes? What do you want out of this case? What do you hope is the future for Cakes by Melissa?
Well, what we're hoping is that we can win the right to operate a business by our beliefs. What we're hoping is not even so much win that, but restore the right to do that. We're hoping that we can secure the right of every American to live and work by their faith without the government punishing them.
And, of course, you suffered severe punishments. If given your druthers, you want to go back into the baking business. This is it. You want to set this up as a legacy for your children and for your wife, for your family.
Well, that's what we were hoping for from the get-go, is to be able to just simply say, you know, these are the parameters we want to live our life by, which is to please Almighty God. And, you know, we believe that we have that right under the Constitution, and we've been told no, we don't, and so we're hoping to win that right back.
One final question, if I might. If you could give a message to the gay couple that caused this problem for you, what would that message be?
Well, just as we said many times over and over to them again, I'd like to say that, you know, it's never was out of angst towards them or to make them upset. But instead, this is just something that we have to do because of our faith, and that we hope that maybe someday they could come to that same faith and that we could all be brother and sister in Christ Jesus.
Amen to that. I'd like to thank you very much, and your lovely wife, and of course, Mr. Dice, for taking the time to discuss this with me. I certainly hope that you prevail, and may God bless you in your efforts.
Well, thank you so much, and God bless you for getting the word out.
World Lutheran News Digest may be heard every Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and again on Wednesday at 2:30 p.m. Central Time on Worldwide KFUO Radio. It may also be heard anytime streaming online at kfuo.org. Join us again next Saturday for another new edition of World Lutheran News Digest. I'm your host, Kip Allen.
World Lutheran News Digest is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. WLN Digest is produced through the facilities of Worldwide KFUO. You can also listen to WLN Digest on demand at kfuo.org. To correspond with World Lutheran News Digest, email news@kfuo.org.